Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get the comfort and support with a new mattress from Serta. Find the perfect mattress for a deep and restorative night's sleep. Take control of your sleep and save big money on Serta mattresses now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Thomas Halliday. His book is Other Lands, taking us back and back to 500 million years ago and more. We go now to the Cambrian. This is a present-day fossils in China. And the scene is set by Thomas's magical writing. The land was desolate and dry. There was an extreme greenhouse world. And we're looking at what was happening underwater, in the sea, in the vast sea. Thomas, you report that all modern phyla were present at this moment right now. So all of what we are is descended from here. Where should we look? Should we look at the fish? Should we look at the sponges, the worm-like worms? Where do we come from?
Well, during the Cambrian, this is classically thought of as the Cambrian explosion, where you get the first representatives of all of the phyla. So a phylum, in a biological sense, is really a group that shares the same kind of body plan. So of vertebrates as a whole are a phylum. So the phylum that includes fish and you and me and reptiles and birds and frogs and everything else with a backbone. And so some of the earliest vertebrates are here at the time. So you've got things like Hycorhynchus, for example, which is this very simple fish-like vertebrate, but also several sort of wormy creatures that will eventually give rise to arthropods, to those insects and crabs and lobsters and so on. And at Chengjiang, we do see representatives of most of the modern phyla. I think I'm right in saying that there are no echinoderms, which is a group that includes starfish and sea urchins and so on at this place, but that's a preservational issue that sort of... their bodies have just simply not been preserved at Chengjiang, but are known from elsewhere around in the world. So, I mean, it depends really what you want to ask.
All right, I've got a thing for apex predators, so I'm going to go to the one for the Cambrian omnidens. What was it? The apex, you report apex predator.
Yeah, omnidens is one of the biggest organisms around at that time. So if you imagine a 6-foot limbed worm with grasping feeding appendages at the front, then you're probably horrified, but are reasonably close to the idea. It's been described by Jakob Winter, my colleague at the University of Bristol, as being like the Sarlacc in Star Wars, you know, the being a desert dwelling worm. And yes, omnidens is it is an arthropod. It is I'm looking up for more details here.
There are, I've stopped counting how many legs. Are those legs? Or are those sensors? And it has a sweep front. It looks like one of the villains' spaceships in Star Trek.
You know, it does a bit. They are legs in the sense of being used to move around. So I think it has 24 of them. And its mouth is this sort of... circular array of spines that it would then bring out, evert, in order to grasp the prey and bring it in. And it's this kind of grasping, this predation. You talk about having a thing for apex predators. The Cambrian is the period when predators really come to the fore, and you have the first predators. Before the Cambrian, it's a relatively sedate world in which organisms don't really tend to affect one another too much in terms of food chain. But as soon as you get into the Cambrian, you begin to get organisms that are eating one another. And we can Jennifer Dunn is an extraordinary scientist who has done a lot of work on reconstructing the food chains at Chengjiang and working out that organisms like omnidens and also swimming predators like anomalocarids are at the top of this food chain. And a lot of the biology that comes afterwards, the origin of eyes, is a direct result of predation. Why do you need eyes? Why do you need to detect light if something is suddenly going to change around you? And one of that might be if a predator is coming up to you, or if you are a predator, to detect your food. It's the first time that we get armor in the fossil record. So we get the hard shells that then allow organisms to be protected, the hard teeth that allow organisms to break through that armor. So, and this is why the Cambrian ends up being seen as this explosion, really, because it's the first time that you get hard parts in the fossil record which allow organisms to be preserved far better.
Right before the Cambrian is what is known as the Edacaran, 550 million years ago. And I learned from Thomas that the moon was closer, much brighter. So the creatures that were at the bottom of the sea would imagine this world coming closer and closer to this other world that was dead. And we learn again of creatures which are magical because they're so strange. This is before or maybe predicate of the Cambrian explosion. Thomas, what is an Eandromeda?
Well, I mean, what is an Ediacaran organism is one of the hardest questions that you can ask. Ediacaran organisms are ones which exist in this pre-Cambrian period, that for a long time scientists would say there is no life before the Cambrian, until suddenly we discovered there was. And a lot of these organisms are morphologically completely different from the body plans of life that happens after it. So Eoandromeda is named because it is it has this kind of spiral shape, and it reminded the scientists who described it of the Andromeda galaxy. And so there are those that think that Eoandromeda is a relative of the type of animal which is known as comb jellies. So these are soft marine organisms that today float around in the dark and emit beautiful sort of fluorescent lights, use those to lure prey. Whether it is a relative of comb jellies or not, it's almost certainly an animal. We are pretty confident that a lot of these Ediacaran organisms are, or were rather, animals. Although, it's only relatively recently that we've had good evidence of that being the case. But it's this time which is sort of peaceful and at the sort of origins of diversification of a potential future of, you know, what kingdoms of life exist.
Is the stromatolite, it's a mat, you report, a mat on the floor of the sea or the ocean. Is that headed towards becoming a plant? I mean, can we talk about plants and animals at this point?
We can talk about plants and animals. So there are, stromatolites are a bit distinct from the mat. So at the bottom of the sea, the sediment is loosely held together by what we call the microbial mat. It has this kind of elephant skin texture. It's essentially, you know, nothing is living beneath the surface, really. Burrowing hasn't started yet. Swimming above in the water column hasn't really started yet. But the microbial mat is a sort of the way that the microbes hold together the surface of the sediment. Stromatolites are mounds of microbes that then sort of grow into these sort of boulder-like structures. And they are not ancestors of plants. And there are stromatolites that are still alive today off the coast of Australia. So it's a way of life that has persisted for 500 million years. Plants do exist in the sense of there being, there are red algae that are known by this time, particularly in a place called Tamengo in Brazil. There are these sort of forests of algae, and organisms like Dickinsonia, which look a little bit like, a sort of pineapple slice that would move slowly around on the seabed. That is certainly an animal. We have evidence of cholesterols, and which are uniquely an animal chemical. So yes, we can tell the difference between plants and animals at this stage.
I thank Thomas Halliday, the author of the new book, Otherlands, taking me on a journey through Earth's extinct worlds. It's a joy to consider. I recommend highly. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.